Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. For over 20 years, Mary Pope Osborne has entertained and educated her readers with brother-sister team Jack and Annie as they explore the world in the Magic Treehouse series. Each book is a new adventure for everyone as they meet people like Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War, explore the moon, and experience the Great Depression firsthand. Osborne doesn't stop there, though. Not only does she write the Magic Treehouse series, but she also collaborates with her sister and husband on the companion Fact Tracker books, a Magic Treehouse musical, and lesson plans for teachers to use in the classroom. Childhood literacy is important to Osborne, and as we hear from her, she takes great pains to let her fans and readers know that she's there for them and wants to work with them to get them the books they need and deserve.
Yeah, you know, the connection started many years ago. I started writing Magic Treehouse 22 years ago, and I started getting letters from my young readers. Some of those letters you might have heard me read at the Book Expo, but those letters were so fabulous. And then teachers wrote me and parents wrote me, and I started visiting schools all over the country for about the first 10 years of the series. I was on the road a lot, and I just began to absorb ideas people were sharing with me and absorb the voices of the children and the needs of the teachers to help children learn to read. And all of that sort of tutorial with the public is fed into the series and fed the energy stream that's kept me going now up to 50 books and still going. So it's been a great collaboration.
It amazes me how active you are in getting to the children so young so that they are literate and having your classroom adventure program.
Right. Well, my sister, Natalie Pope Boyce, who lives up in the Berkshires, and my husband, Will Osborne, and I, Natalie and Will have both written the Magic Treehouse Fact Tracker books that are the nonfiction that accompany the fiction. And the three of us decided that to give back to all the educators who've helped us, we would start a program free of charge and put it out there called MagicTreehouseClassroomAdventures.org. And that program provides all kinds of materials to teachers around the country, reading level charts, curriculum tie-ins and lesson plans. But it has another feature that will help a teacher from a Title I school apply for a grant from us to get Magic Treehouse books for their classroom free of charge. And that we've awarded over 1,000 grants now. This summer we joined up with JetBlue Airlines, and they got into the donation part of it and gave a lot of books away to kids too. So I hope it's just this ongoing gathering thing that keeps going and supplying reading materials and books to underserved schools. Because that's, I think, if nothing else, we've learned that if a child doesn't read by the end of third grade, there's a lot of challenge ahead that might be very difficult to meet. So you've got to get those first, second, third graders reading, and that's our mission.
It takes a very special person to do this, and with you collaborating with your sister and husband. I mean, a lot of authors, while they write the books for the kids, that's it. They write them and then they're done and they move on to the next thing. But it takes a very caring person to want to go those several extra steps further to make sure that the children are reading, that they have books accessible to them as well, and create those lesson plans.
You know, it would have been really wrong not to do that, because Magic Treehouse has sold so well and all of us have benefited so much. And not to try to give back, I mean, I don't know if we could live with ourselves, because it would just be ungrateful. Giving back seems to be the logical conclusion of receiving. and you want to try to give as much as you get. And we've gotten so much from our readers and the public. And it's been, you know, when you write for children, you see a part of the world most of us miss, because I see the parents bringing the children to the bookstores and the libraries, and I go to the schools, and I see all the good intentions of people to help their children. I can't tell you, I'll have a whole line of kids. my sister and I might be standing getting photographed. And the parents are doing the photographing, and I look into their faces, and they're looking at their child. And the smiles and the love on their faces as they snap a picture, you just see this goodness everywhere. And I feel like you just got caught up in it. You have to be a part of it, or you know, you'd be really out of step with what's been handed to you.
And you're growing the series as your readers are growing up, too, because you're 29th, I can't believe it, and we're at 50 now.
Yeah.
But the 29th Magic Treehouse was a step further and a little bit longer for the readers. So you're growing with them.
Well, that's true. And I might even take another step after the 52nd book comes out next summer. I'm seriously thinking of jumping up one more step of reading level, book length, age of my characters, and taking them into some more difficult terrains, like maybe World War II, increasing like a fifth grader's knowledge of the world through the series. And I'm really preparing for that because it would be a big step forward, but it just seems appropriate. We start with the very simplest reader, Dinosaurs Before Dark. Most children who start this series start there, and maybe first grade, sometimes kindergarten, and then by second grade, they're comfortable with that, and by third and fourth, they're ready to take on the next step, which, as you said, starts with book 29, The Merlin Missions, twice as long as the first 28, older characters, harder subjects, and then the nonfiction books hit that age, too, fourth grade and third grade. So, yeah, we're covering a lot of territory, but those grades are so essential for getting kids launched into the world of not only reading, but loving to read. And if we can get them reading then, we feel like they could be lifelong readers.
And what's not to love? I mean, this Magic Treehouse takes brother and sister Jack and Annie to all these crazy places throughout history. And sets them on an adventure, and they get to experience it firsthand. So it's not, you're doing a lot of research as well for each of these books.
Oh, definitely. My sister and I, she's working on a book on soccer, and I'm working on a book on Jack and Annie going to the World Cup game in 1970 in Mexico City with Pele playing.
Oh.
And I'm buried under, you know, reams of soccer books, and I've got a video of that game, and I've got the Mexico City subway system map and the map of the city and pictures of the stadium. I'm having more fun, and Natalie's learning all the rules of soccer, and we're talking constantly about this. Meanwhile, my husband, Will, has just worked on the show of Magic Treehouse going to meet Louis Armstrong, and that's going to be this fall in various parts of the United States. And two of our best friends who live in the Berkshires, Randy Quartz and Jenny Laird, wonderful composer and playwright, are writing Magic Treehouse classroom plays, and they're working on the Dickens book. So we've got like four or five different locations and places in history going on in our little family and friends circle at all times.
How do you keep it all straight?
Well, you know, it's just so much fun. It's such a swirl, and I'm the type who really is a I jump from one subject to another. This suits me so well. So I love going in and out of these different worlds all in the same day. And I love reading also. So I'm just living elsewhere all the time. But that's what I want kids to use their imaginations in the same way, whether it's theater or reading or writing. I think that's what we're pushing for, is just get kids using their imaginations.
And the beauty of this one, Hurry Up Houdini, they are in Coney Island in the 1900s with Harry Houdini.
Yeah, and you know, the research for that was fascinating. I had no idea that Coney Island in the first decade of the 20th century was such a spectacular world entertainment center. It had these amazing amusement park rides. You know, they'd burn down a whole block of a fake city block to show you what a major city fire looked like. They just did everything before film kind of took over, and as the century progressed, those amusement parks were the biggest thing going. So when I found out Houdini had performed there, I was finding out all sorts of great things about the old parks and who Houdini really was and his wonderful wife, Bess, who becomes a good character in the story. And then Nabley wrote the book that accompanies it on tricks that kids can do themselves. And she has been hilarious because she was doing those tricks, you know, for 6 months working in her kitchen doing the great pepper trick and the paper clip trick and the ketchup, you know, bottle trick and all these funny tricks that we want second and third graders to be able to pull off in their own homes. So that was totally fun, that whole project. And now those books have come out.
The Companion is a lot of fun, and I also like that you still have all of the facts about Houdini or different tricks that he's done, too.
Yeah, well, you know, a big feature of Magic Treehouse is history, because it's a love of mine, and it's a great way to get information across to kids. We have a book, you know, I have a book on Shakespeare and one on Leonardo da Vinci and Baghdad in the 9th century, and subjects kids won't approach probably in school in those early years, but they feel like they own them. So my dream is they'll hit 15 and explore Shakespeare and feel like he's an old friend or learn more about Leonardo. So we introduce them to this sort of cultural literacy worldwide of different subjects. And it's constantly fun and a learning experience for us, too.
That's a great way to put it, as that they'll be reacquainting themselves with old friends.
That's what I would like them to do. You know, that sort of, I remember feeling like I owned a character. If I'd read about him as a child, I'd read about Robert E. Lee and some childhood series of biographies, and then hear about him as an adult and feel like, oh, I know who that is. You know, I've met him. And that way, with a lot of historical characters, you meet them again as grown-ups.
And I want to go back to Coney Island, because the reactions that Jack and Annie have, you capture a child's perspective so well.
That's a little troubling for me, because I never really grew up, but that's a very comfortable place where I live, is in the mind and heart of a 9-year-old boy. And maybe because I had a twin brother and another brother a year younger, I just was always with the boys playing. And a lot of that gets activated when I write from Jack's point of view. But it's a happy place to be. And it's a place where kids are still discovering the world and in awe of everything around them. I remember my brothers getting Cub Scout badges, and I would grade them on their activities. And we were so enthralled with learning how to, you know, tell what direction we were walking in or how to make a little campfire and that sort of thing. So that same spirit goes into the books of the joy of discovering the world. And I think a lot of that we tell in the nonfiction, too, so kids can go out and look at the natural world and find out something they didn't know before.
And this is the second in the Secrets of Greatness, these missions that Merlin has sent Jack and Annie on, and having them try to jump ahead and just hope that their magic ring glows when they finally find out what that secret of greatness is. And
yeah.
Then having them
That's
just
so great that you know that. And then the one they meet next is Florence Nightingale. And the funny thing about that book is she's not great yet. She's not even a nurse yet. She's taking a vacation on the Nile in 1840, and she's incredibly depressed because her family won't let her go out into the world. She came from a very high-class British family. And Jack and Annie, you know, help get her on the path to becoming great and learn from her when they fall off a cliff and need to be nursed by her. So that was a real kind of a pretzel of a story. But the one after that is the book on Pele. And learning a secret of greatness from a great soccer player has been really a fun discovery, too. I like that theme of finding out what makes great people great.
And I also like how they have the Mists of Avalon, that if they smell it, then they get to become great at one thing for an hour.
For 1 hour, but you know, twice now that hour has run out at a crucial point. like when they're on stage as the pre-show for Houdini and the hour runs out, and then in the Florence Nightingale book, hopefully no children are listening who will remember this, but they become great rock climbers to free a little baboon from a cliff in Thebes, Egypt, and their hour runs out on the way down. So it's great to be great for an hour, but you better be watching the clock.
Well, this series is so wonderful, and the characters are a lot of fun. The name of the newest Magic Treehouse book is Hurry Up, Houdini. Mary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Again, Mary Pope Osborne's 50th Magic Treehouse book in the Merlin Missions is Hurry Up, Houdini. It is published by Random House. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.